series, and I hope everyone has a booklet that they were able to preview to take a look at this lesson, that God will finish the work. Interesting that we're talking about finishing right at the beginning. Beginning a new series here and talking about how the Lord's going to finish. But that's appropriate too, because we know He, according to Isaiah 46 and 10, He knows the end from the beginning. And so we put our trust in the Lord that He will accomplish the work that He has begun. The focus thought says we have to allow God to complete that work. And I think the truth that is there is to continue in the work and the direction that the Lord has established, and then to allow the fulfillment of His will. Because we're still free will in the sense of we can choose. And if we choose to do what God is doing, or to complete the work that He's doing in our lives, we choose that, then thank God it will be fulfilled. Philippians 1 and 6, our focus verse, speaks of the confidence that we can have. And our confidence is in the Lord. And He has begun a good work in you, and He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we thank God for the work that He will finish. Praise God. And the lesson text from Acts 23, one of the times that the Lord spoke to Paul to be of good cheer. And He spoke that to the disciples as well. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that be of good cheer is something that comes to us when we need cheering up, when we need encouragement, when we need the touch of the Lord to lift us up above our circumstances. And thank God that's how the Lord would direct us. God's works are never unfinished is the title of the article. And what an interesting point, the unfinished portrait of President Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt. And she began that portrait on April 12th of 1945, and that is the day that the president died. So that's why it is an unfinished portrait. Kind of a interesting point that something was begun, but unable to be completed, unable to be finished because of death. Now, that can be kind of a spooky or scary prospect, but thank God, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. And thank God that Paul would give that assurance that if we are to depart from this life, we have a destination, we have an arrival. Amen. And that's in the presence of the Lord. So it's not a scary or spooky thing in terms of where we're going to be. It's just unknown. It's unknown. And but it's an appointment that everybody has. However, in that process, in all that the Lord is doing, we know He will complete the work. Amen. Thank the Lord that there is that blessing that the Lord would provide for us. And again, our choosing to align ourselves with the will of God and His purpose that He's established in our lives, not to choose to neglect it, not to choose to go our own way. The Lord will honor that choice. He won't make you serve Him, but we can choose of our own free will and decide, I'm going to do what the Lord desires to do. And that work then continues. As the scripture says, all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Amen. So we identify with that. You know, there are a lot of people who want to pray that things work out for them, that God gives answers for them, but they're no more desiring to do the will of God than the man on the moon. It doesn't work that way. Now, the goodness of God will lead you to repentance. We know that. And I can look back on my high school years when the Lord was moving in my life and trying to draw me to him, that there were prayers that he answered. It was the goodness of God that kept me walking towards him until there was an act of repentance, an attitude of repentance that stayed with me, with a desire to please the Lord and to do his will. So the call of God is actually in two facets, two aspects. Everyone is called to salvation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus said. If any man open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. What an incredible blessing that we find in opening our hearts, opening our lives to the will of the Lord and the work that he desires to do within us. That's one call, the call to salvation. The second call is a call to ministry. Now, immediately, we almost always think of the word ministry as what I'm doing now, as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel. But in actuality, every believer, every saint has a ministry. And the truth of the matter is, the church would not function as well as it does without everyone fulfilling their ministry. And thank God that that power of working for the Lord is able to defeat the works of darkness that are trying to overwhelm the land and overwhelm individuals in their hearts and lives, in their homes, their marriages. Thank God for the light that is shining because of you as believers in the body who are doing the will of God. So we are called to work for him. And here's some fill-ins for you. A specific work God created us for. And that determination to walk in his will and to fulfill the plan and the purpose that he has for us, performing and completing that work. Completion is very important. And having a testimony to share with others, you know, that chorus that is real old that says, "You don't know like I know what he's done for me." Everybody's got a unique touch from the Lord. Now, all are born by the water and the Spirit. Baptism in the name of Jesus and the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. All are born that way, but not everybody has the same testimony. My experience is different than your experience. And since nobody knows like you know, you have to tell them. You have to testify. You have to witness. And thank the Lord, he has given us that specific work and a specialized area of ministry. Now, when we think of a specialized ministry, where you know, probably something comes to mind like a doctor who has a specialty. A lot of years of study, a lot of hours of training, and we think of specialty in that way. Well, that's a good way to look at it, but it's also a special in the sense that you're the one doing it. And something very small, something very seemingly insignificant, but yet very important to the work of God. And for you to fulfill that is a blessing to the whole body and to the whole kingdom. So unique gifts and abilities that the Lord provides through you and how it works within the body. We yield and submit those to him, and he uses them for his glory. And thank God there's that that blessing that he is able to bring forth because you yield and submit your talents, your abilities, your gifts to the Lord and are able to see them come to pass. So the calling, we thank God for the calling and how the Lord came to seek and to save the lost. And as a result, there's that invitation that he makes for us to come and be with him. And how often the Lord said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Or if you're heavy laden, and you're loaded down, he said, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Praise God. And we thank the Lord that coming to him makes a huge difference because of the calling that he puts in our lives. And we thank God for the power that the Lord would bring in our experience and how God would minister to us. Now, the time that the Lord spoke to Paul and said, be of good cheer, is not a particularly good set of circumstances. He's been arrested by the Romans. Now, he used his Roman citizenship as a means of protection, a means of privilege. And so the Romans have apprehended him. And in fact, there's a group of them that said, we're not going to eat or drink until we kill him. That was quite a diet for them. I wonder how long they stayed with it. I wonder how long they kept fasting determining they're going to kill that Apostle Paul. Because it's amazing how the Lord stepped in, not just with a be of good cheer, but also with an escort. And that escort is pretty impressive. You'd think it would be like a governor or a king that is being escorted by the two centurions and the two companies of soldiers and so on. But it's a Pentecostal preacher, praise God, a missionary who has been apprehended by the Roman authorities, and he has been told to be of good cheer, and he's being threatened with execution, with assassination, and he's still moving forward very strongly in the blessings that the Lord would provide for him. Praise God. It's interesting how Paul, now Philippians 1 and 6, being confident. Remember where Philippians was written? In jail. And yet the positive statements that he makes throughout that book, you know, that's where we read, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And we also read, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Now, all of these positive things that he's putting out as he's writing to the Philippians, he's in jail. And likewise, with being confident of this very thing, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord for the faithfulness that Paul demonstrated. And probably there were times that he lacked courage. There were times that he wondered, you know, God, now what? now what's going to happen to me? And things like that. Especially when you read the list from 2 Corinthians 11 of all the things that he endured. And he doesn't write that list in a pity party. He's not trying to get people to feel sorry for him and send him an offering and that sort of thing. He's simply pointing out how God has been faithful. And no matter what peril, no matter what shipwreck, no matter how many times the whip or the rods have fallen on his back, no matter what he's gone through, God was faithful. Praise God. And that's why then he could respond with a faithfulness that the Lord would honor as well. There's an interesting story told about King Henry III of Bavaria. He became tired of being a monarch. You'd think, my goodness, you've got all kinds of privilege. You've got wealth and riches, fame and recognition. How in the world can you be tired of being a monarch? But back in that day, and this is in the 11th century, things were not easy. Things were difficult at the time of the Crusades and so on. And the pressures of being a monarch and providing for the kingdom and so on just got to him. And he decided, I'm not going to be the king anymore. And he went to a monastery and asked to be admitted to that monastery. And the leader said, you understand the pledge here is one of obedience. And that might be a little difficult for you because you've been the king. You've been the one who has given directions and orders, and everybody has to obey you. Now, it might be a huge challenge for you to submit to obedience. And King Henry III said, I understand, and I commit my obedience to you, whatever you say. And the leader of the monastery said, okay, I'll tell you what you are to do. You are to go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place where God has put you. It's quite an answer, isn't it? When he was exhausted, he was tired, he was fatigued, he wanted to escape the pressures of being the ruler, being the monarch, yet he is told, okay, if you're going to obey me, then this is what I want you to do. Go back and serve on your throne. Serve faithfully. I think the statement of being faithful and serving is very important, especially where the Lord puts us. Amen. That's so necessary, so important. I know that there are times that we would like to be somewhere else. We would like to escape pressures. We would like to escape the loneliness or whatever it might be, you know, from terms of too many people around you to not having anybody around you. Either extreme, we feel sometimes we want to be out of that and away from that. But the Lord looks for faithfulness, and faithfulness where he puts us. Amen. Peter on the mountain, and the Lord's glory shining forth, Elijah and Moses appearing. What did Peter say? Let's build three tabernacles. Let's stay right here. That was his goal. That was his intention. And it'd be interesting to see what a fisherman would build. Not a carpenter, he's a fisherman. But he was determined, you know, let's stay right here. Sometimes in those glorious atmosphere, power and so on, we would like to remain, we would like to stay. But we've got to come down the mountain because there's things that God wants us to do. Amen. And I know that my wife looks at Pentecostals of Alexandria every Sunday morning. Probably some of you do too. You tune into their podcast, and oh my, powerful, wonderful. And I'd like to be in that church. I would like to be there and be a part of that and so on. Well, you have to remember that they have 24/7 fasting and prayer. And they want you to commit to that. Fast on Sunday even, because of the need for the spiritual push. And so, and the work that's got to be done on that campus, because it's not just the one building. How many, I think there's at least three, or at least three huge buildings when we visited the church there, and probably more now. There's a whole bunch of homes over on this side, on this street. Over here, they bought a whole bunch of the houses, and have ministries that are going on in those houses. So there's a lot of work. No matter where you go, there's a lot of work. You're just not going to be able to coast. So working where the Lord puts us. Bloom where you're planted, I think is how the scripture would say. Now, you consider Jesus described in Hebrews 5 and 8. Hebrews 5 and 8 said he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Did Jesus have to learn obedience? Was he a wild little kid? Was he a self-willed teenager? No, that's not what that's saying. It's saying he suffered in obedience to the will of God. And because of that, salvation and power are made available to us. Amen. And he was a man, tempted on all points like as we are, yet without sin. And thank God, because of that, we have a high priest who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and we can come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And thank the Lord that Hebrews 4 is likewise applicable to our situations as we rely upon the Lord and desire his work to be accomplished in our lives. And we thank God for the work that he continues and the blessing that he provides for us. So listen to this statement. Here's what somebody said. I can say with complete truthfulness that everything I have learned in my 75 years in this world, everything that has truly enhanced and enlightened my experience, has been through affliction and not through happiness. That's kind of a bleak outlook in one sense, isn't it? But stop and think about it. The afflictions that we endure is when God shows up in great power and God brings us through those difficult times. And we step into the realm of happiness and into the blessings that the Lord provides for us. And we come through the water, through the fire, and into the presence of God in a powerful way. But we learn through those afflictions, God is faithful. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can endure far more than you thought you could. The power of God is there. The angelic armies are there to lift you up. Praise God. And all of those aspects then combined do not pull you down. And to the point where you're going to give up. And so that 75-year-old man looking back and saying, through affliction I learned a lot. And probably even more than I did through happiness. So that may seem like a strange statement, but it's the hand of the Lord being displayed in those difficulties when we might feel like, where are you, Lord? And he's there. Praise God. And thank God for the power. Because here's Isaiah 54 and 17. Isaiah 54 and 17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. You're going to prosper. You're going to prosper like a tree planted by the river. Your leaf is not going to fade. Your fruit is going to come forth. And whatsoever you do will prosper. That's the promise of the word, isn't it? Psalm chapter 1. But no weapon that the devil forms against you is going to prosper. It's not going to overwhelm you. It's not going to pull you down. Praise God. So the Lord and his power is there. So here's the Romans. And they've apprehended Paul. They've arrested him. And they're trying to figure out what to do with him. And they decide they're going to move him to another entity, another official. And it's amazing, Acts 23 and 23, there's two centurions, there's 200 soldiers, There are 70 horsemen and 200 spearmen. Who are they escorting anyway? King Agrippa? Governor Felix or Festus? No. Pentecostal minister, an apostolic preacher. Praise God. Now it's true, the 200 soldiers may, the 70 horsemen and the 200 spearmen may be contained in that. Maybe it wasn't almost 500. Maybe it was just the 200. But still, people seeing that group coming down the road would wonder, what's going on? Are they heading to capture somebody? Is there an uprising somewhere that they've got to go and deal with? What's happening? Who's that guy with them? They'd have to wonder. And those poor guys with their stomachs growling, watching them leave. Oh, no, we don't have a chance to kill him. What do you say we give up our vow? Praise God. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. But you can prosper because of the work that God is doing in your life. And the work that is not going to be left undone. He said he's going to complete it. And thank God that completion is what we look for. And we thank the Lord for the work that God has done in our lives. Praise God. And it was the centurion, what's his name? Justin? Justice? The one that was on the ship when the Lord spoke to, or the angel appeared to Paul and said, be of good cheer. And he told them, be of good cheer. I wonder, probably not the same centurion, but that centurion likewise, not wanting to put the soldiers to death or the prisoners to death. That was the stipulations that were made. If you lost, as a Roman soldier, if you lost a prisoner, your life was forfeit in place of theirs. And so the centurion thinking, oh no, the ship's going down, all these prisoners, what are we going to do? But because he knew the value of the Apostle Paul, because he knew the power that apostolic had, he gave favor to Paul and then all the other prisoners. And then, because Paul prophesied that no life is going to be lost, they all made it to shore. And so God shows up, praise God, and his power is great, and we thank the Lord for it. Now, naturally, in this setting, we recognize there are enemies. That group that bound themselves with a vow, we're not going to eat until he's dead, and then the Roman centurion and their 100 cohorts. Each of them having 100. It was not a picnic for the Apostle Paul. But God more than made up the difference. And thank the Lord for the power that God brings in people's lives. And the enemies that we have in the spiritual realm, and maybe people who are opposed to your testimony and won't receive it and so on, keep praying. Amen. Praise God. Because Paul was not always Paul, remember. He was Saul of Tarsus, breathing out threatenings and slaughter to the church. But the Lord did a work in his life. There was a 100-year-old man who was being interviewed by a reporter. The reporter asked him, "What are you most proud of?" The man replied, "I don't have an enemy in the world." And the reporter, of course, was very impressed with that. How inspirational, he said. That's amazing. And the centenarian went on to say, "Yep, I outlived every one of them." That's how he didn't have any enemies. But we know God is able to bring power into play on your behalf because he has determined he's going to complete his work. Now, in Genesis 1, 6 days, creation came about. The seventh day, he completed his work and he rested. Not because he was exhausted or fatigued or worn out, but to give us a principle of rest. And thank God we find that rest in the Holy Ghost now. Not necessarily in a day, but in the Spirit of God, we have rest the whole time, rest and refreshing. And coming to the Lord when we're laboring and heavy laden, and he gives us rest. Praise God. And we thank the Lord that that's more a spiritual or emotional, mental laboring and heavy laden than it is physical. Physical, too. But when there's turmoil, when there's trauma, and there's testing and trials and tribulation, and all of that mess going on, thank God we can come to him, learn of him, take his yoke upon us, you know, be attached to him, be close to him, and then we know his power to minister to us, praise God, and the rest that he's able to provide. So the Romans escort Paul to where he would receive the opportunity again to testify even more. And remember in Acts 9, the Lord told Ananias, go and pray for Paul, or Saul, and I'm going to show him what he's going to do for me and how he's going to testify before kings and the things that he will suffer for my name. There was the glory and then the hardship. There's both, isn't there? And we've all... most of us lived long enough for the Lord that we know, yeah, there's both, for sure. But we know the hand of God is there to minister so many ways, so many times, so powerfully, that's what we're going to put our trust in and put our rest in his word, our trust in his word, and know that the Lord would bring us safely through this life, this world, and into his power and into his presence. Praise God. Look at Philippians 2 and 13. Here's the work again. The idea of the work. God will complete the work. And Philippians 2 and 13, Paul is continuing that idea of God working. It is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And we live to please him. We live to serve him. Praise God. And so his work is going to continue. His work is going to be finished. Thank God that is in you, that he desires his will to be performed and the things that please him are going to be manifest. Praise God. So it's not we're just wandering around here not knowing what to do, where to go, who to turn to, what our purpose is, and so on. No, God's working. Amen. And sometimes we desperately call out to him, God, help me. Help me, Lord. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know why things are going the way they are. Help me to see your work, Lord. Help me to trust you that your work is being done in me, because it sure seems like things are falling apart. But the Lord is there. The Lord provides. Praise God. And he will complete his work. Now, the Bible says that we were delivered, and we are being delivered, and will yet be delivered. Right? Now, salvation appears to be a work that God is doing in the same way. We were saved, we are being saved, we will be saved. Look at 1 Peter 1 and 9. Peter's first letter and the first chapter, verse 9, he talks about the end of your salvation. And the end of your salvation, or the end of your faith, rather, is your salvation, the salvation of your souls. So the devil wants to end your faith, obviously. The devil wants to smash your faith. He wants to do away with it. He wants you to struggle. He wants you to fail. And he wants to end your faith. But the Lord says, the end of your faith, when you reach the end of your faith, when you come to the end, what's going to be waiting is the salvation of your soul. The ultimate salvation. You step onto streets of gold. And you've made it. You're home. Praise God. All the others have made it before you. Your loved ones are over there waiting for you. And you step into that fellowship. Oh, my. Praise God. Sister Wade said, what did she say about when she reaches heaven, what she's going to be doing? A heavenly greeter. Praise God. Amen. Wouldn't that be incredible? And think about who's there to greet you. Amen. Amen. Don't let your faith end with a problem or with a struggle, with a trial. Don't let your faith fizzle in those things. But hold on. Praise God, and the end of your faith will be the salvation of your souls when you're in that heavenly realm. And if you see Sister Wade or not see Sister Wade, eventually you will, but somebody is going to welcome you. Praise God. And oh, man, what a reunion. What an incredible time. I don't want my faith to end in some kind of a battle. And certainly Paul was not going to let his faith end in any of those things that he was experiencing. I wonder what he thought when he was being escorted by all those soldiers. I don't know if he was, maybe he wasn't riding in a chariot. Maybe he wasn't on a horse. Maybe he was in manacles and being drug along there. Maybe it wasn't a good thing to be celebrated. Maybe he was being treated like a prisoner, like a slave. The Romans didn't value life very, very much in those days. A slave could be bought and replaced, just a snap of the fingers. Maybe it still was a hardship. But nonetheless, he did not give up and surrender his faith. He held on. And so, the last of the fill-ins here. God always completes the work he begins. And in each of us, he will finish that work. It will be finished. Amen. Not going to be incomplete. Not going to be a half-hearted beginning of a project. No, the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. Now, you've been around people who have all kinds of projects that they've started, but they're not done. I probably have a bunch of projects that I've started and haven't gotten done. That's the human part of it, God operates on a different scale. He operates in a different realm. What he started, he's going to complete. Amen. And that's what we commit ourselves to. That's what we determine we're going to follow through, because the Lord is not going to abandon you half finished. Not going to happen. There's going to be the completion that he desires to bring into your life. setbacks, delays. Those kinds of things happen in our experience, in our circumstances. But thank God the Lord is going to work his will and bring about a completion of the work. Amen. And crossing the finish line, praise God, we're all going to, if our faith remains intact and we stay strong in our faith and believing the Lord and trusting his word, full of his spirit, walking in his will, we're all going to cross. Praise God. And the prize will go to everyone, not just the one who crosses first. Amen. The power of the Lord will be there. And Hebrews 12 and 2, I believe it is, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. And that patience is hard sometimes to work with. But we keep looking to him. Praise God. He's the author. He's the finisher. And praise God. We want him to be the finisher for us. Now, that term finisher is interesting. Have you ever finished furniture? Have you ever redone, refurbished? What do you call it when you're refinish a chair or a table or something? Good. A lot of work. Sanding away there, putting the, what's that paste you put? My example here is falling apart. No, the stuff to remove the old stain. Yeah, paint. It's that. And so you're working like mad in every crook and cranny, you know, trying to get rid of the old stain, trying to smooth everything out, trying to get every little scratch and so on smoothed down very nice. And then you put the stain on and then the finish coat and so on. A lot of steps. And someone who does that for a hobby or does that for a job, they know patiently, just keep going. The finished job is going to show up eventually. And our commitment to the Lord in a very similar way. Lord, you're sanding on me still. You're working on me still. You're removing things for me. Praise God. I thought about that. We are washed in his blood. And it's not a dry cleaning. It's the old, I remember my mom having the galvanized wash tub and that board and scrubbing. I remember that. And that was before we had running water and before we had electrical power. We were out on the edge of town, and took a while for all that stuff to catch up with us. But my mom worked all of that. And washing that the Lord does for us is hands-on. He's removing every stain. He's removing every aspect of dirt, of sin. Praise God. He's cleaning us up. That work is ongoing. He's touching us. He's ministering to us. I want his hands on me. I want his touch in my life. Praise God. I want the blessings of the Lord to be there for us. Amen. What power and what blessing we receive from him. Amen. Brother Wade is doing much better. We thank the Lord for that.